Opening day weekend, Lindsay. What a it's a holiday celebrated by a small population of the world, but it is a very important holiday in my world and of yours. But you know, we had a great weekend watching the Auburn Tigers play, getting to learn a lot, and hopefully seeing a bright future ahead with these next 3 or 4 months. Looking for a June celebration, hopefully, which would mean Omaha.
Yeah, I like how the calendar worked out for President's Day being after opening day weekend. I really think that should just always be a thing. Opening day, the Friday should be a holiday because I watch baseball all day. And then Monday should be a holiday because there's baseball on Monday. Folks, welcome on into the Barn Baseball Show. Lindsey Crosby, Sonny DeShera. Brad Law's not with us, not feeling well. He'll be back on the next episode. But Sonny mentioned it. Opening weekend, right? Auburn goes 2-1, takes down Holy Cross. We're going to get into some of what they did over the weekend. We're going to talk about big picture stuff here. We're going to talk to Parker Carlson, ask him about his thoughts on the weekend and some of the stuff going on. But first, Sonny, I want to get into, I think the big story, and maybe you can speak a little more about what this does to a locker room. Outfielder Cade Blue called Butch on Friday morning. His mom passed of cancer, and he wanted to play in the game. He told Butch what happened, told Butch he wanted to play in the game. Butch told us after the game on Friday night that he called Cade's dad, and he said, you know, I'm his baseball coach, you're his dad. What do you think he should do? And his dad said his mom would have wanted him to play. Mm-hmm. He goes out, picks up two hits, including a home run. He gets the ball back in Auburn's victory. Walk us through what that day is like on Friday for the rest of the team. I don't mm-hmm. think that exact situation happened to you guys while you were here, but like, what is that like for a baseball player knowing that something like that's going on?
It can 100%, you know, pull an entire team, an entire fan base on together. Like, I mean, obviously it's heartbreaking. It is horrible. And nobody ever wants to hear that news, but the response is really everything because how uplifting everybody has been for Cade. And, you know, obviously Cade's got 40 teammates in that locker room and also the coaching staff and everybody on his back and with him. It's just, it really can pull a team that maybe that wasn't very close. It can pull a team to where, you know, they start looking around and realize you're like, no, man, these are my best friends. And we got, you know, hopefully 65 plus games of doing this together. And I think they're the funerals today and got word that the whole team is going to be going to the funeral and the whole staff. And so that just shows right there how much everybody really cares about each other and how bought into this team they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's having something like that happen is obviously the worst possible situation you can imagine. And I do think that obviously one, our thoughts are with him and his family, mm-hmm. but after that, I would argue probably the best possible outcome from the worst possible situation, just the way that he was able to not be distracted or was able to focus on playing and have a couple hours of an escape from that and perform. He went 6-12 over the weekend. It feels kind of callous to talk about, but like, not only did he played really well. He made a leaping catch at the wall on Sunday that kept runs away from Holy Cross. Just a really good game from him, but I kind of want to get some of your thoughts. We saw some of these new starters, right? We saw Samuel Dutton on Saturday. I want to get this game to in a second. Game one, we saw Cade Fisher. What were your thoughts just as a hitter on watching his stuff in the zone on Friday night?
Yeah, I really liked, I mean, obviously you just said Dutton's name too and Fisher. I really liked how both of them used all their whole arsenal. Like it wasn't like they were just up there trying to throw one pitch by somebody. It was like, they were pitching, you know, which I don't think this team has a bunch of dudes throwing 98 to 102 with power stuff. Like not many teams do. Right. And so the fact that those two guys, obviously they're two transfers and so older guys and they kind of, I think they set the tone of showing, hey, this is how you pitch right here. You got to use all your pitches. And even if you don't have your best stuff, like I don't think Fisher had his best stuff on Friday, but he still battled. He still found a way to compete. And Dutton obviously was in the zone the whole time. So the way they showed how to compete to show those young guys that, you know, this is what it looks like, I thought, in my opinion. You know, yeah. Walks and hit by pitches, that and errors, that all that stuff happens. And as the season goes on, you cut those down. And so, but I really liked what I saw from those two.
Yeah, both guys allow one earned run. For Cade, only 3 1/3 innings, no hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. To your point of not maybe necessarily having his best stuff, but he seemed to buckle down really well when guys on it. We asked Carson Myers a little bit about that. We asked Parker Carlson about that a little bit later about kind of what Cade was able to do to get through that. He did leave with a little bit of lat tightness. We didn't know at the time. We found out from the coaching staff on Saturday, no word on if that's going to keep him out of his next start this upcoming Friday or not. Yeah. But Cam Tilley came in after him. The mayor of Splitter City looked really good, got the win, 2 2/3 innings, one hit, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Brad mentioned early in the existence of this show, right, about how good Tilley finished the year last year. I know you're obviously a hitting guy, not a pitching guy, but would you ask Cam Tilley to come back and start on Tuesday against Troy? We're going to preview that in a minute. Just knowing how good Troy is, would you ask him to come back and start on Tuesday?
If not him, then Myers, because both of them put on a showing. And I think, you know, you piggyback one with the other, like say Tilley starts Tuesday, you know, throw Myers right after, or Myers starts Tuesday, Tilley after. I think those two are a good, like it's both, like they split how they pitch, you know, it's. I think it's a good different look. And obviously against Troy, that's no matter if they're 0-25 or they're the 25th team ranked in the country or whatever they are, that doesn't matter. Like you gotta, they saw a play in Holy Cross this weekend. Any team could beat anybody on any day. You just gotta be ready, that's when teams realize that and really hone into that. That's when it gets real. That's when teams get good.
It absolutely does. Talking about any team beating anybody, game two, obviously, Auburn drops game two to Holy Cross. Mm-hmm. The big story of the game to me, I mean, the weather was kind of a factor. Yeah. It was misty and overcast all day. Mm-hmm. We actually, I had to go wipe down the seats in the press box just to kind of have a dry place to sit to cover the game on Saturday. But wind blowing, it kind of swirling, right? Like blowing in.
Yeah.
Not a good day for hitters. Do you think some of the low output of the offense, do you think that was more of the weather or that was more of guys just trying to go up there and hit for power on a day when the wind and the temperature wasn't going to let you do it?
Yeah. I mean, those games are absolutely miserable. And that's when, you know, you got your teams like the Holy Cross who are low tier mid-major playing a powerhouse SEC where everything that happens gets real fine and real cute. So, and obviously that showed up with the free passes we had and the errors we had. That's what was the difference. Cause it was a really close game and those type of games are going to be close. There's never going to be a blowout when it's misty and the winds swirling. So I think that's where, and that was good to see this weekend. That was good to see when Auburn had their backs up, you know, odds against them with the weather, but obviously they had their odds against them too. And so it comes down to who can make the least mistakes and who can cash in what has to be cashed in. And so, you know, that I think that that's a great learning moment for them. It's better to lose that game now than to be, you know, two games off the lead. Yeah, April, yeah. Like when those SEC games really matter.
Yeah, and kind of to your point on the free passes, and Butch talks about this all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Auburn walks 7 guys in that game. You know, they give up 7 hits. And I believe there was at least one guy that was hit by a pitch. So there's like 15 base runners in that game. Yep. And that's one of those things that eventually, just given that amount, guys are going to get through. The flip side, Holy Cross, 5 hits, 3 walks.
I think they
hit a guy or two, but it's just one of those. They just had so many more opportunities. They were able to cash in a little bit more than Auburn was.
Yeah. For them to only have scored 4 runs, or was that what was the final score?
Saturday? It was 4-2. Yeah, it was 4-2.
For them to only score 4 runs after having 14 base runners and that many free passes is, honestly, that's a big up to me, because that means once guys got on, the bullpen locked it down. And so it really does. Like, it comes down to who can make the least mistakes. It's not even really about who can score the most runs, because obviously whoever scores the most wins the game. But it's who can make
Reiki. Yeah, that's the side of the share analysis we're here for.
Hey, whoever wins will have more points or runs at the end of every game.
There we go.
But
there we
go. Yeah, so it's about not making mistakes.
Yeah, that was just one of those. And Butch actually said that to me after the game, like they could have scored so many more runs than they did. And, you mm-hmm. know, he was saying that more out of frustration that Auburn didn't score more versus crediting the relievers. But I absolutely do think, I mean, it was, yeah. you know, just you gave up a bunch of walks. They had a couple more opportunities and they cashed in probably the same number that you did of opportunities and got more mm-hmm. runs out of it. Game three, that was, I think, the fun one, right? The bats yeah. come alive. Auburn scores plenty of runs. A lot of the freshmen looked really good. What was kind of mm-hmm. your takeaways from Sunday's victory? Because that was, you feel a lot better about going out there 14-6. I had some fans kind of reach out to me. 14-6 is more what people expected from every game this weekend. What were some of your kind of big takeaways of the freshmen getting run in game three?
Yeah, that was, this whole weekend
right.
by far is the most freshmen I've ever seen play and like have an impact on the game. And so just the fact that, you know, obviously you got to get those first game jitters out of the way. You can't base a freshman's performance on the first or second day. And so seeing that them come out and really step it up, and obviously Chatterton started the game. He had some great stuff. I thought big curveball. And so with those hitters, and obviously Rimber was in there and Frelick caught behind the plate. And did really, really well for a freshman behind the plate. And then he had obviously the big hit. And so I think it's very promising for not just for the year, but for the next couple of years. That's what you want to see from your freshmen, is like them already kind of taking that next step and being a little more mature. And that excites me.
I think you're in a good position to answer this. I was kind of wondering, I know that obviously the freshman jitters, like that's totally a thing. First game mm-hmm. in college and all of that. Are the transfer jitters a little bit of a thing too? Because I know that there were some questions and conversation. Eric Snow had a good first game. He started at second base in game one. Mm-hmm. Game two, he was the starting shortstop, and Fabian swapped over to second. Yeah. And we saw Snow have two uncharacteristic errors early, and Auburn ended up swapping them back a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Is transfer jitters a little bit of a thing too when you move up in classification and you're playing at a larger program with a much bigger mm-hmm. fan base than you're used to?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my first game was obviously in the Rangers Stadium, and so I think everybody could have been a little intimidated there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, I feel bad for Snow because that's a tough game too to play shortstop because you got the mist, balls wet. Obviously, no excuse, but the moment did not get too big for him, I don't think. It just happened to be his day, you know, that everybody's going to have their day, and that just happened to be his. And so I really think him and Fabian are going to lock that down and be the duo of the middle that's Auburn's had for the past few years, that big time duo that, like, you had the Brody Moore and the Cole Foster, and then, mm-hmm. you know, Cole, and obviously you had Brody Moore and Bliss, and then you had Ryan Bliss with, who was the guy from a couple years before that played shortstop?
Okay, don't put that on me. I knew it until you asked me. That's how it always works. I knew it until you asked me.
I could see his name a million times and know it, but him too. William Holland. That big time duo up the middle, yeah. And with those guys, all the experience they have, that they're going to be that anchor. It's just, you know, Gabe really likes to test out and see who's going to – see what's going to fit, see where it's going to go. And, so, and that's what I like. I like it. I like to see it. And
to your point, you said it earlier on the loss. I'd rather that happen now than that happen in April. Right. Like, it's much better to do that now than to do that against an LSU or an Alabama or something like mm-hmm. that. So everybody sure. has those games. You see it. I'm covering the pros. You see it there too, where a guy just has a bad game and commits two or three errors. I mean,
yeah.
Braves fans can remember Brooks Conrad at third base doing that. I think in the postseason, even last year, Shea Whitcomb of the Astros had three errors in a single inning. I think, you know, CJ Abrams had three errors in Atlanta in one game for the Nationals. Like, it happens. Not too worried about that.
Yeah, no. And going back on the, you know, the Snow, because is he a junior or sophomore?
I want to say I'm going to check real quick. I want to say he's a junior. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think his freshman year, he played a little bit. And then obviously last year he got the full year. And so,
junior.
He knows how to play. He knows what he's doing. It's just a matter of being comfortable. And now he's got the first weekend out of the way. And so he's I feel like he's gonna be ready to go.
I mean, he was a freshman All-American at USF. So he did
play.
I mean,
sorry, he
yeah,
did play.
Yeah, yeah. He was defensive player of the year in 2023. He's got like two full years.
Okay.
Two full years. And it's this kind of stuff happens, really.
Yes, it does.
I don't have any concerns.
Yeah, he's not hanging his head. He's all right.
Okay, so I guess big picture, we did see two short starts from the pitching staff over the weekend. One of them, obviously, a little bit of that lat tightness for Fisher. Again, we don't know what he's going to do, if he's going to make a start this week or not. I'm going to assume he is. The medical staff didn't look too concerned during the game when he came out, so I think he will. Any concerns about the pitching staff after this weekend, or was it, this is kind of your first series of the year, everybody's not stretched out yet, the weather was a factor?
Yeah, like Friday and Sunday, I thought was great. You know, it for opening weekend, Friday and Sunday, to only give up 8 runs combined there, I thought was great. And but obviously Saturday, you can't really count Saturday, in my opinion. That's a misty, wet day. It's just about that day. Is the ball going to fall for you? And are you going to throw it in the strike zone more than them? And that's a tough – it's just a tough day. Like, nobody wants to say it. Obviously, if I'm playing in it, I'm never going to say anything about it. But when you're watching, right, you're like, ah, it's a tough day. So,
yeah,
I think it's very promising to be week one.
Completely honest, it was a tough day for me in the press box. Like, I'm out there. I'm trying to type with gloves on because my hands are cold and stuff. I can't imagine trying to actually play. And we're going to – a little bit later, we'll talk to Parker Carlson about what it's like to play in the snow and the coldest games he's played in and things like that. Okay, real quick, before we get to that Parker Carlson interview, I want to talk about Troy, because they swept Bellarmine over the weekend. They moved up in the D1 baseball poll on Monday from 25 to 24. We talked about this a little bit, I think, last week, but this is the hardest midweek of the year. Like, it's them or Georgia Tech, but just kind of given how those in-state teams always play you, this is Auburn's toughest midweek of the year, right?
Yes, 100%. 100%. Like the Georgia Tech game, yes, it's a midweek, but that's just like a different type. Like, midweeks to me are, you're playing a mid-major team that you're supposed to kill and supposed to stomp, right? And so that's the mentality that – so from playing on both sides, right? At Samford, it was like, hey, we're going into this big-time underdogs. We want to beat them, like, no matter what. We're going to throw it all out there, and we're going to play as hard as we can. And on the other side, being at Auburn, being the Power Five, playing the mid-major, you're like, hey, it's mid-major rolling in. We got no problem here. We got to handle business. And so that's the mentality that you cannot – that will get teams in trouble. That will get the big Power Fives in trouble from those mid-majors. And so this can't be a, you know, Troy's coming to town. Same old Troy. Here we go. It can't be that. It's got to be, all right, game – it's got to be treated as game one Friday night. It's got to be treated like that, or it's going to be a tough game. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, they bunch of offense. Some of the things to watch for here: Shane Lewis, 4-for-7, 3 homers. Sean Darnell, 5-for-9 with 2 homers. The one thing I don't think we're going to end up seeing too much of is old friend Drew Nelson. He actually had a good start over the weekend. I think he went 4 innings, 1 earned run allowed. He also got an at bat, went 1-for-1 with 2 RBI. So shout out to Nelly, you know, kind of doing some good stuff there.
Yeah.
But we don't have official announcements on starting pitchers. Kind of like I asked you, I do think Cam Tilley's probably the guy you bring back. And like you said, you just piggyback the two. You've got Tilley, you've got Myers between them. Each of them gave you roughly close to 3 innings over the weekend. They can probably each give you 3 innings on if everything goes right on Tuesday. Yeah. Any last kind of thoughts before we get into the Parker Carlson interview?
Yeah. Like, games like this Troy game right here, the midweek game, it can be the games that if you don't win them, RPI is hurt. You know, and the RPI gets so nitty gritty down there at the end to be able to get into a regional or to host a regional. When I was here in 22, we lost to Jacksonville State. They had a tough year. They had a tough year. I mean, I think we lost like 6-4, so whatever it was. That game just about kept us out from hosting. We had to do some other crazy things to be able to host, which we did. But that minor slip up, like this right here, this Troy. Thankfully, Troy's ranked, and they're number 24. So whatever happens here, it can either greatly affect the RPI in a good way. But if a loss happens, then it's not going to hurt it bad. But the game UNA Wednesday, that's got to be for sure 100% win. 100%. If not, you're going to be an uphill battle, and that's a tough uphill battle after game 5.
I remember how frustrating that Jacksonville State game was, because you guys had like 10 hits and could only put up 2 runs. And they put up 5 runs on 6 hits, and it felt like every single one of theirs was an extra base hit.
It was like, no, it was like
they were just ripping the ball.
Yes, you're exactly right. And we were like, because we had a meeting after, and Gabe was like, "Boys, we hit the ball hard. You know, we got hits. It just wasn't. It just didn't happen like it was supposed to. Like that. That's what happens. Anybody can be anybody on any day. Like seriously, that's how fine baseball is."
You guys left 11 on base in that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Wild. I mean, and they cashed in just about all their opportunities.
Yes, and I can remember this vividly. When I had one of my buddies in center field, TJ Reeves for Jacksonville State, mm-hmm. and I had 2 balls to deep left center. Dude, like, full extension lays out and just robs me twice on bases loaded. And so, like, that's just, like, the fine line right there. Like, that's what makes or breaks a game, and that's how it is.
It absolutely does. All right, here's Minus Studies interview with Parker Carlson. Welcome back to the Barn Baseball Show. Lindsey Crosby, excited to share us sitting down with senior right-handed pitcher Parker Carlson. Parker, thanks for joining the show. Congrats on a great first weekend. Auburn takes the first series against Holy Cross.
Of course, Lindsey. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And I want to kind of get your thoughts on how the weekend went. Auburn goes 2-1. Great showing offensively on Sunday. Pitching seemed to be pretty good and kind of holding Holy Cross in check all weekend. You had a scoreless inning on Saturday. What was just kind of your general thoughts on how you guys did and what some of the new guys showed over the weekend?
Yeah, there was obviously a lot of learning. It was. I'll say first, it was a different environment than I've ever experienced here at Auburn with the mm-hmm. new seats and everything. Like when I go on the mound Saturday, it was louder than I've ever heard it at Auburn, which is so cool to see. Friday, you know, obviously Cade started us off well, which was really good to see. Eric Snow had the first big hit of the year, but I mean, it's obviously the biggest moment Friday was Cade and kind of that story, which was so cool to see. And I'm so happy for him and so impressed and honored to be his teammate. Honestly. Yeah. So Friday went well. Saturday, you know, obviously didn't go our way, but we learned a lot. And, you know, especially after the game, you know, how to kind of deal with stuff like that. You know, it's the second game of the season. We don't need to go soul searching or anything like that. Just doing a couple more little things right. And Sunday, you know, obviously it went our way. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Going into the game like Saturday, that weather kind of being cold, wind blowing in for the most part. I know a lot of fly balls kind of got knocked out in right field. As a pitcher, is that something where you think, well, I've got the wind on my side, it's easier? Or is that something where you think about, like, how's my stuff going to change by the time it gets to the plate?
Yeah, I don't think of it as much as, like, kind of how my stuff's going to change. I think, you know, if you're in a place like Coors or something like that with the altitude makes it a little different. But here in Auburn, I don't think it changes it too much. But yeah, I mean, it gives me a little more confidence with, you know, I see the flags blowing straight in from left field and right field. It was swirling, so it was blowing in from both sides, it looked like. So it gives me a little more comfortability to, you know, put in the zone a little more.
Well, I'll tell you, when it's cold and I see a wind blowing straight in my face, it's like,
yeah,
what do we got today? Like, what I'm just going to try to hit a big single to right field. Yeah. Just try to dump one in. So that definitely plays the mind game. The pitcher didn't even have to play a mind game there. That's just all when you just look up and you just see winds flapping and your eyeballs are tearing up a little bit from the wind and it's cold. So that helps out.
A chance to get one out today. Huh?
Yeah.
Have you played in any of those like really cold games where you can barely feel your fingers? Like is that significantly tougher because they're trying to grip the ball and everything? Or is it just kind of, it's just uncomfortable no matter what?
Yeah. Most of the time, whenever I go into the game, my body's a little warmer anyways. You know, I've been running around and sweating and getting hot, but the coldest I've ever been, here at Auburn was when we went to Arkansas my sophomore year, and it was mm-hmm. opening weekend of SEC play. And I think it was 31 degrees all 3 days, which was like unheard of, especially you know, being from Mobile, Alabama. Like coldest games of the year, 40 degrees and, you know, maybe a little rainy. Like it's fine, but that's definitely the coldest I've ever been. And I remember that game, I had to get hot pretty quick, so I was still, you know, getting my body warm and everything by the time I went out there. But it went well, so you got to do what you got to do.
Sonny, colder for you? Have you had anything colder than that?
So COVID year, that would have been my sophomore year, 2020. We went to play. We were playing in this like 4-team round robin in Nashville, and we're up in Belmont playing at Belmont, and they have this like city park. I don't know. It's like a
it's a municipal tough, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's on top of a hill. Like, you got to drive up and you're sitting on top. And it was like, it was 20 something degrees with like 15 degree wind, like actual feel and sleeting. And that was awful. We also, Parker, I'm surprised you didn't say the game where we played Tennessee Tech up in Huntsville that night.
Yeah, that was
a frigid night.
I was hidden in the dugout for most of that game. So I was
like, you didn't come out.
Yeah, I was staying warm. I was staying warm in the dugout.
That's,
yeah, so.
That's fair.
I do remember that. Yeah, that was freezing.
Talking about being in the dugout and stuff, kind of what were some of the thoughts on Cade and on Sam on their debuts this weekend? Like, what did you kind of see them doing that you were impressed with, and kind of your overall thoughts on their ability to, you know, to be some of your key weekend guys?
Yeah, definitely their demeanor and kind of how they go about, you know, their routines and during the game stuff. Cade knew he didn't have maybe his best stuff, but he competed his butt off, and, you know, he told you know, everybody, you know, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to try to throw up some more zeros and shorten this game out a little bit for our pin. So that definitely, you know, stood out to me. Like, man, he's already showing how good of a competitor he is. And then Sam, you know, he does it week in and week out in the fall and in the spring, you know, same thing, you know, just shortening his pitch count, you know, getting some ground balls, a couple strikeouts. Like, he puts the ball where he wants to. And that was just another weekend for him. It looked like for us.
Yeah. Whenever Cade has those situations, I'm thinking like first two innings, one of the first couple batters gets on, he kind of buckles down and gets out of it. Is that one of those, like, as a reliever, you're like, that a boy, like, that's the way to do it? Or is it, you know, just kind of that's business as usual and he's used to, you know, to being able to get out of jams?
Yeah. I think the first time I ever really saw Cade pitch, it was during the College World Series when he came in against Oral Roberts, I think it was. And it was, O'Sullivan had ran out of mound visits, so he had to come out without getting hot at all. And it was like bases loaded, you know, one out or something like that. And he buckled down and got out of it. That's when I saw that. I mean, I kind of, you know, that I was like, that kid's good. And he when he comes in there, he's not nervous, he's not scared, he's going to fill up the zone. So,
have you ever had to like come out with no prep, no warm up tosses, and just get hot in the moment? Like, what do you do to get ready in that situation?
Yeah, the older I've gotten, the more I've learned how to kind of get loose while I'm not being told to, if that makes sense. So I'm in the bullpen kind of moving around, especially when it's cold. Like, I don't want to sit down for, you know, 30 minutes and not really move my body. Luckily I haven't, because that usually happens, you know, when something happens on the mound and they get
an injury, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So luckily none of that, but I usually get at least, you know, I can warm up in the bullpen and throw some breaking balls and then go out there. So
he's ready.
Yeah.
That's kind of like thinking about this new look roster. You guys brought in a lot of really highly touted freshmen, both arms and hitters. Of some of these freshman hitters, like, who do you, as an upperclassman, like, who would you least want to face in live at bats from that group? Like, who's just has impressed you the most so far this year?
Yeah, Chase Fralick, definitely. I think everybody saw it yesterday, but like in the fall, like he had my number. He really did. Like he was a very tough guy for me to get out. It just felt like he was always in a favorable count whenever I was up there, and he was getting his swings off. Like he swings hard every time, which I love. It's like every time he fouls one off, you're like, oh my gosh, like that was almost, he almost smoked that ball. Yeah, definitely him yesterday. It was so cool to see him yesterday. You know, do what he did, get a couple knocks and get a big homer. And he did well behind the plate too. So I was very happy for him.
Yeah. Very, very cool to see Fralick hop in there and just
not
let that moment get too big. Like most freshmen do. And it, you know, it happens. It's whatever, like Bub on Friday night, that's going to happen. You know, he could have done that mid season or he could have done that as first night playing. So, and it's always awesome to see that freshman come up and do it from the beginning, just like me and just like what your brother did. You know, it's just a cool feeling, and it lets the whole team know, like, all right, we can play a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I told him, you know, you only get to do this. I'm sorry, Lindsay.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was before the game, you know, I saw his name in the lineup card. I was like, hey, man, enjoy it. You know, you only get to make your college debut once. And he was smiling from ear to ear. He was like, I will, man. So I'm so glad he was able to do that.
On Sonny's note of your brother, Brooks Carlson, obviously, you know, played DH on one of those Omaha teams. Quick question for you. If it came to game on the line, who would you rather strike out, Sonny or your own brother?
I think Brooks. I think Brooks. I don't think that's me and Sonny, you know, we have a friendly little competition, but me and Brooks, it's a little Brooks still tells me that he'd hit me now. So
I'll go to the grave with that. Brooks will hit anybody right now. He will do anything. But whenever in that fall of 21, whenever Brooks and Parker would face each other, the whole everybody was up, everybody was paying attention. It was just fun little bitter battle right there. I say it's even though they got each other even.
He got me a little more in the spring.
When he came,
because he was hurt in the fall, and I only got to face him. I don't even know if I got to face him during scrimmages, but it was during live at bats a couple times. Mm-hmm. And Coach Thompson made sure that we faced each other, and he sent a video to my parents. It was the first time we ever faced each other. That was really cool. Yeah.
Nice. In any of the ABs, did he take you deep?
He did not. He almost did. He hit one about 120 off the wall and left, I remember.
Not a homer, though. That's a single.
Not a homer. Stayed in the park. That's what matters, right?
Put a hole in the wall, but it was not a homer.
My first homer in an Auburn uniform in the fall was off Parker in live at bats.
And my first strikeout in an Auburn uniform was against Sonny DeShera.
Right here, this guy.
There we go.
Good trade-off.
I don't know. I kind of think you won that one, Sonny. A strikeout versus a homer kind of was a little different.
He got me going.
There you go. I do want to ask, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, Parker. Okay, you faced 233 batters in games at your time in Auburn. You know how many extra base hits you've given up?
I honestly wouldn't want to take a guess, honestly. What do you?
14. That's it. 233 batters, you've given up only 14 extra base hits. Obviously, most of the hits guys are getting off of you singles and not even hard contact at that. Like, do you think that's your mentality on the mound? Do you think that's your stuff? Like, what is that? Why have you had such good success at just keeping the ball in the yard?
Yeah, I think trusting my stuff in the zone, especially my breaking stuff, that I trusted is going to get a lot of ground balls in my defense. Yeah, I'm not a guy that's going to go up there and try to strike you out every time, which I think, you know, fits me and what I need to do as a reliever is to help guys, you know, get out of innings or, you know, bridge a gap for somebody or finish a ball game or whatever I need to do. But yeah, trusting my stuff in the zone and hearing stuff like that just kind of furthers my confidence in that.
Hey, if you doing this interview helps you have a scoreless outing for Auburn baseball at some point in time this year, then we've done our job over here on the
board. I'm a little more confident.
That's right. I'll tell you that number, the 14 and 233, that's a testament to Parker right there. Like a testament to you, because you've been the most consistent guy these past 4 years. You go out there, you throw strikes and you do what you're supposed to. And obviously you're going to get hit sometimes, but you go out there and they give you the ball in tough situations and you cover an inning or two, and that's been your job. And you've been good at it. So that number is not just like a surprising number to me. It's when me and Lindsay talked about this before you came on, and it was like, yeah, I mean, that's like, that makes sense. That is what I would expect.
Real quick, kind of like a rapid fire I want to do with you here. Who's the best hitter you've faced in your baseball career? Yeah. And you can't say Sonny because he's on the pod. You can't say Sonny. That's obviously the answer. Yeah.
I faced Wyatt Langford my sophomore year, and that was, you know, obviously that was tough. I think it was bases loaded whenever I faced him, so I was like, I got to go after him. So that was Wyatt Langford, I think, is the one that's sticking out to me right now because he's in the big leagues right now, obviously.
Yeah.
What was the outcome of the at-bat? Did you get him?
I punched him out. It was a hanging slider, and I got away with it a little bit, but I'm not going to go around telling people that.
We love a college zone. We love college strike zone. Okay. Is that the strikeout you're most proud of, or do you have another one that you look back on and say, like, that was maybe the best at-bat of my career?
I think the most – or the my favorite strikeout I've had was the one last year at LSU against Jared Jones. I think it was – I came in for Will Cannon, and it was base loaded, no outs, and I got a fastball to the glove side on 0-2, and Carter Wright stuck it, and I struck him out looking. And I think that was my favorite pitch I've thrown in my career so far.
Nice. Yeah, that was that 7-5 victory, I think, in the weekend. I want to say that was the final game of the series. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Love that. Final question I have, you know, not speaking for Sonny here. Final question I have, but like growing up, who was the pitcher that you most kind of emulated and wanted to kind of model your game after?
Yeah, especially in high school when I started pitching and stuff, Walker Buehler was a guy that I really looked up to and kind of tried to emulate. Definitely in high school tried to emulate because he was 180 pounds throwing 100 miles an hour. Definitely him. A lot of his mechanics stuff and hearing him talk about his mentality and stuff, he wasn't really scared of anybody. He was going to go up there and beat you with his best stuff. So he was definitely a guy that that I looked up to.
And you looked up to his haircut that you got to match him? You guys look
the same. I don't know about exactly the same. But the older I've gotten, I went with a mohawk for a little bit. I don't think he had the mohawk, but I got the clean cut now.
There you go. No more. You're like, listen, I'm an upperclassman. I'm a senior. I'm a leader. I got to look professional on the baseball field. Exactly. No flow anymore. No mohawks. Okay, that's good. Sonny, what else you got for Parker?
Hey, Parker, that just like what we talked about on here today, man, and with that, obviously that crazy number, the 14 and 233, I touched on you being so consistent for 4 years, and you're the guy that's going to have to be the consistent stone once again this year. Just after watching this weekend, you're going to have to be the guy that continues to go out there for the inning or the two inning, and you piggyback or you need to fill something, fill somewhere. That's got to be you, because this team's going to be special. Like, obviously, the heartbreak that Cade Blue had this past weekend, and for the whole team to rally and everybody showing up to and going to his funeral today, that is something. Like, obviously, you never want something like this to happen, but that is something that will get this team rallied and get this team together more than you will ever know. It is something that will get everybody so close, and it's going to be very awesome to watch you guys keep going and keep doing it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Sonny. Yeah, it was it's something I feel like we all knew we wanted to be there for him. We just didn't know how to just yet, but definitely, you know, hope we can show up for him today. Yeah.
Well, Parker, thanks for coming on. Best of luck this year. Obviously, you guys have Troy coming up this week, one of the tougher midweeks. It feels like to us, what are your kind of thoughts on facing this Troy squad at home? Are you guys happy you get them at home versus neutral side or away, or is it something where you don't care, you'll play them and you're confident either way?
Yeah, I think we've played them a different place every year I've been here. Last year we played them in Huntsville, the year before we played them there. Yeah, I think we're just ready to go out there and you know, try to do what we can to win, kind of make some adjustments from this weekend, kind of regroup and do what we can to win. You know, I think we're confident in who we are, and we know we have a shot against anybody.
For Sonny, for Parker, I'm Lindsay. This has been the Barn Baseball Show.